Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. You there, say amen. All right, Bible says, for the word of God is living and active. Sharp, if you got paper today, grab a pen. You can underline this. This is some good stuff here. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Lord, I thank You that You are good and mighty. I thank You that You come to this place today to bring correction and comfort, guidance and direction. You come near, Lord. You sprinkle us, cleansing us, washing a guilty conscience from our hearts, that we can leave this place feeling good and leave this place transformed. In Jesus' name. And everyone said? Amen. Everyone said? Amen. You know, I get a call every once in a while. I guess cell phone, if you want my phone number, I'll give it to you. And somebody will say, Pastor Bob, we need something out of your office and it's locked. And I say, well, just take a butter knife and you can just kind of put that thing right in between the door and the jamb, and you just kind of push that latch back, and you can get right in. You see, my door not real secure. My office is not real secure. And people come in, sometimes steal. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes people come into my office. Some of you have seen my office, and they will make a mess in my office. I come in here, and it's just thrash. I go, who did this? And just not a lot of security there. A couple weeks back, we were moving some locks around in the kitchen and doing some stuff just to make life a little bit easier. And I told Mike, I said, Mike, put a lock on my door, because I didn't have a key either. You know, I had my key. And I said, yeah, you know, I could use a key. And he put this lock on there, and I got a key, and I can actually go in from this side. I don't have to go outside. It's very nice. And about 10 days ago, he gives me a call. He says, I left some tools in your office. I need to get in there. And I said, well, Mike, use the key. And he says, that key don't work anymore. He says, I gave you a good lock. And now you have some security in your office. We're in a series called Freedom from the Past. And I bring that up because sometimes our lives are like my office. Not a whole lot of security there. People just kind of come in and rip us off. You know what I'm talking about? People just come in uninvited and mess things up. And we don't have any security. And we don't have any protection. And we so desire something new and a change. Amen? We're surrounded by sin. We're surrounded by evil. And sometimes our lives are just flat out miserable. I want to let you know that if you want a change, if you would like to experience a change in your life, a moving from sin and evil towards good, that Jesus is here to help you with that change. Amen? Jesus comes here today and opens the door to you. I got to ask you a question. Do you want that? Are you working towards that? Because many of you who sit here today say, man, I got that change. Can I get a witness on that? And you know, it is good. You have separated yourself from your past, and there is no way that you are ever going back. But some of you, man, you had somebody bust into your life last week, and things are messed up. Sometimes that someone is just you. Like when I said somebody went in my office and messed it up. You guys said, that's you, Pastor. Yeah, you messed up your life. And you are looking for change. Well, I got some great news. If you're looking for change, you're in the right spot. Because you come in here today, and there is an open door. Amen? All right, we're going to spend our time in Hebrews chapter 4, 5, and half of 6. We are in this series and continuing on. And we are going to talk about that open way that Jesus makes for us. Reading from verse 14 through 16. Therefore, you know, we've been working on some therefores, and there's a lot of therefores in Hebrews. That's why we read verses 12 and 13. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And our writer says that we have an advocate in heaven. Now, he says, because we have, since a high priest, and that therefore means read back a paragraph or so and find out what he's talking about therefore for. Are you tracking with me? And he says, because we have a standard. Because we have the Word of God that judges the attitudes of the heart, and because everything will be laid bare, we need some help. Can I get a witness on that? We need a high priest. We need somebody who can step in between us and God. Because of this standard, because we're going to have to give an account, and because that standard is so high, everybody who's in this room, if you are breathing today, if you're breathing, put your hand up. If you are breathing, you are falling short of that standard. You are not cutting it. Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why we need a great high priest. Amen? That is when Jesus steps in the gap for us. And it's not like he doesn't know what's going on. We come to the Lord when we fall short, and he understands our situation. When we mess up, we can go to him for help. And Jesus is our great high priest who will put us back on track. Amen? Amen? Anybody mess up last week? When you mess up, see, it says, when I am weak, he is strong. Amen? But we got to become used to heading towards that strength, because what happens is when we mess up, the devil says, oh, you messed up. Jesus doesn't want to have anything to do with you. But the Bible tells us that when we mess up, we can go running to our great high priest. And he says, I know you messed up. He says, realistically, I knew you were going to mess up before you messed up. And we can go to him, and he sympathizes with us because of who he is and because of what he does. Who he is our high priest. Who he is the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice that pays for our sins. There is this word that I have been using for the last couple of weeks. What he does as our great high priest is he propitiates our sin. And what he does is he redirects the wrath of God beyond us so that when we mess up, we can approach the throne of grace with confidence because of who Jesus is. See, he opens the door to our victory. Amen? Anybody need an open door? Anybody been buying the lie? Say, oh, you're so messed up. This is how the devil lies. You know what? You can get away with that. Ain't nobody going to figure out that you did. Oh, you did that. I'm going to tell everybody. I'm going to tell Jesus on you. He don't want to have anything to do with you. And Jesus says, no, he lied on me too. I know your problem. Come, let's get it fixed and let's move you past this challenge. Amen? All right, let's keep going. Hebrews chapter 5. Just end of chapter 4, chapter 5. Every high priest, this is every earthly high priest, okay? You'll make a contrast between the earthly high priest and our heavenly high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Got me? All right. I'm going to put it in there. Every earthly high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant. Everybody say ignorant. We're talking about ignorant a little bit today. With those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he, this earthly high priest, is subject to weakness. Jesus is not subject to weakness. Amen? This is why he, our earthly high priest, the one that was ministering in the temple back in the day to the readers who this was written to, has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as for the sins of the people. And no one takes his honor on himself, but receives it when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son. Today I've become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." And we have a high priest who stands with us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our challenge. We're just going to roll with this, okay? I don't want anybody walking out of here in the next 10 seconds. Our challenge is lives, living lives of ignorance. Everybody seated here today is ignorant of the plans of God for you and for me. See, nobody here knows what God is going to teach you tomorrow. Right? We are ignorant. That means untrained. We do not know where we are messing up tomorrow, because why? There's enough sin in our lives to deal with today. Amen? So, as Jesus comes near, he takes us from sin, from ignorance to comprehension and to victory. He opens the door to our victory, and he comes near to us and says, look, we can get through this. And so, the high priest deals with those who live in ignorance. Jesus puts a focus on us and our progress in our lives of faith. This is in contrast to our earthly high priest who has to deal with his own issues, offer sacrifices for himself before he can get to us. Are you tracking with me? Because I want to let you know that Jesus has got no issues. Right. Amen? He is our great high priest who comes and opens the door for our victory. And the writer says, how can you guys be headed backwards? Don't mess this up. Jesus' ministry is almost opposite of the ministry of an earthly high priest, because he says that the high priest, he's ministering to the temple, or maybe not the high priest, but the synagogue, he's offering up prayers. And what he does is he tries to take us to heaven. Amen? He said, come on, we can make it. We can get a step closer. Right? I'm offering sacrifices. We're going to deal with that sin. We'll clean you up. We're going to take you a little bit closer. But Jesus ministers in heaven and brings heaven closer to us. He said, the message of the gospel, tell everybody, the kingdom of God has come near. Amen? See, Jesus opens the door to victory. victory, and we can be confident to enter into the presence of God. And our writer says, man, I want you to get the picture of Jesus, especially in times of need. You tracking with me? I was experiencing a time of need on Wednesday night. Ann is familiar with my time of need. I was indeed, it was not planned, but I was indeed the nursery caregiver on Wednesday night. It was me. It was Ezekiel. And it was Ezekiel's little buddy who has some incredibly hard name that I can't even pretend to pronounce. So we're just going to call him Spider-Man, because that is him right there. You know, we were having a good old time. Started off a little bit rough. I got the DVD going. You know, we were having our Jesus beat, and then the kids were good, and we were playing with cars, and we were just having a good time. And it was about 40 minutes past 7:45. And this Spider-Man here, young man, goes, he looks at me, and he echoed this word, ma. I was kind of going, oh no. And it rapidly degenerated from there. And until Ezekiel got on the roll as well, and I had these two little boys, and they were screaming and yelling and crying, and they were both laying on their backs in rebellion. And I did what men do. I ran out of the room. And Caleb, Ezekiel, he's smart. He can work the lock. And so I deadbolted the nursery because I was going for the big guns. And I sprinted, or at least hustled, over to the kitchen, and I went to the ice cream freezer. Now, as I opened the door, the boys were thinking, escape! He's finally surrendered. We won. And then when I shut it, and they started popping up, and I locked it, and I ran away. What is this? And so I come back. And ladies, I just want to let you know, I was only gone for maybe 30 seconds. Because I didn't want them dead or something when I came back. You know. And Pastor kills two boys. No. And so I sprint, and I grab this one is melted because I put it there last night. But this thing was frozen solid. And I pause, listening for life in the room. It was there, screaming, yeah. And I open the door, and these two boys looked at me with such incredible disdain. Dare I say hatred? I don't know. There was no love. And I kid you not, I mean, time of need coming through. And I kid you not, I wish I had a video of this. But I went like that. And peals of joy emanated from both boys instantaneously. And they both, laying on their backs, reach out their hands to me, giggling and laughing and knowing that good times had indeed arrived. And they were laughing and dancing. I share this with you because in our time of need, Jesus opens the door so that we can find times of refreshing and move through our challenge into victory. Amen? All right. Any future preachers out there? Yes, nursery. That is where you can find your illustrations. All right, here we go. Jesus displays perfection in action. Continue to read in chapter 5, verses 7 through 10. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. I want to let you know this morning that knowing is different from doing. Knowing is different from doing. He is referencing Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, that as Jesus prays, Father, if it be your will, let this cup depart from me. And we see the most human picture of Jesus throughout the gospel, throughout time. And he makes this prayer of Jesus, of God, Father, can you shift your will towards mine? And I think we can relate, because many of us pray prayers that ask God to conform his will to ours. Amen? Now, Jesus is perfected as he bends a knee to pick up the cross, the challenge of the cross. Now, it is not as if Jesus was ever imperfect, that he came and he was ready to do the will of God. But as he experienced that will, see, there is a shift from being ready to and having done it. Can I get a witness on that? And that is what God is looking to in our lives. Now, Tommy, I'm sure nobody back there looking at their cell phones. Check on that for me, if you would, because that would not be in the will of the Lord. Amen? Amen? We are called. Jesus says, anybody want to be my disciple? That person must deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. Daily. You see, the life of faith is filled with daily challenge. And the life of faith is filled with daily victory. Jesus holds open the door to that victory. Amen? All right, let's keep going. Chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear because you no longer try to understand. I hope that's not you. You no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Sometimes things get broken. Sometimes people get broken. A writer says, you should be seeing victory in your life. You should be moving from challenge to challenge to challenge to victory to victory to victory. You should see it in your life. And as you hang around here, you should see it in the lives of the people around you. One of our key principles around here, we develop people. It's not something that we do. It is something that we walk beside you as God does in you. The longer you are here, the more change you should see from your past, because we're leaving the past behind. Amen? We are finding freedom from our past. These guys, the Hebrews, they're not even trying anymore. Are you trying? What kind of victory did you experience this last week? The Christian life is a step-by-step process whereby we become more like Jesus day after day. People see the change in you? These guys should have been further along. He says, you should be teachers by now. Now, my wife is down there teaching right now. We've got Lori's down there teaching. Pastor Scott teaches. Aaron teaches. Pastor Paul teaches. We got a lot of teachers around here. He might not be talking about you teaching a class. Dana teaches too. So does Adrian. But there should be somebody that you are able to share what God has done in your life and be an encouragement and a support to them. Amen? You say, man, you guys aren't making any progress. You guys can't even stand on your own 2 feet. One of the first things that you are going to grab onto as you come and step out of your past into a life of faith is the ability to distinguish between evil and good. There should be steady progress, folks. You should have victory over that evil, and Jesus holds open the door. Amen? The closer you get to good, the closer you get to God. Now, Mike Hinson and I, we've been doing some work. This week, I posted that picture on Facebook. How many of you guys saw that picture? I didn't look at it, but I posted it because I don't know how to look at that stuff. But, and I posted on the picture, it said, the point of no return. Because we did indeed cut 4 holes like that. And some of you might have seen, but a couple of weeks ago, I scored a couple of air conditioning units for the church, and I've been hauling these things around in the back of my truck for 2 long weeks. I'm about tired of that. And glory to God, tomorrow, a crane is going to lift them out of my truck and put them on those curbs. And in faith, Wednesday night, we won't be huddled in this room. You know, like, oh, it's cool. This room will be flooded with coolness, and it will be flooded with heat in the wintertime. But I'm telling you, underneath those are called curbs. Underneath those are plenums, and they're all set up to have ducts tied into them. And it's a bunch of work, right, Mike? And it's hot up there. And it's hard work, and so is the Christian life. And it requires a lot of effort if you're going to have victory. But it's Jesus, our high priest, who opens the door to our victory. Amen? All right. Last thing, we're going to spend some time in chapter 6. How many of you guys know Hebrews chapter 6? It is heavy sledding, folks. Heavy sledding. Just one person leaving, right? Kick that other guy back in here. I got some heavy sledding for them, you silly. All right. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. It is impossible. Say impossible. Impossible. Anybody know? When you read impossible, what do you think of? You know what I think of? I think of impossible. Because that's what impossible means, is impossible. I'm pausing here because we're going to go steep here right quick. Is it impossible? It is. Impossible for those who have once been enlightened, oh glory, who have tasted the heavenly gift, glory, have shared in the Holy Spirit, have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, who have fallen away. Was that word impossible to be brought back to repentance? It is impossible because to their loss, not to Jesus' loss, to those people who fall away to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again. And subjecting him to public disgrace. talking about living in the light, coming into the light. And if you're in the light, do not turn back to the darkness. Now, it's a little quiet. It should be quiet. Our writer describes spiritual enlightenment. God does a work in our hearts and in our lives. And when God does this spiritual work in our lives, we are no longer ignorant. With spiritual enlightenment comes spiritual power, enabling us to find spiritual victory in every situation. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Amen? The old is gone and the new has come. Amen? We're able to press on through our challenges to greater and greater victories. Jesus is opening the door. But there is no provision for moving back. See, you can move from ignorance to enlightenment, but you cannot move from enlightenment to ignorance. You are no longer untrained, and he says to these guys, you turn back to darkness, you know what you're doing. You had a great high priest who in your ignorance ushered you into enlightenment and into greater understanding of God, but don't try and go back the other way. Because God's not dumb, and you're not dumb either. You know better. And for you to throw on the reverse, you take Jesus and put him up on the cross. And when you put Jesus on the cross on purpose, not in ignorance, I was an ignorant man. I did such ignorant things for 30 years of my life. But then I became new, and Jesus became my Lord. He says, you go back, you put Jesus on a cross, you subject him to public disgrace, and there is a spiritual scarring that will happen in your soul that you will never recover from. I have seen it. I've seen it. And I've seen guys never, ever recover. He says, don't let this be you. Let's keep going. Verses 9 through 12. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are convinced of better things in your case. The things that have to do with salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised to you. God has better things. He's saying, stay lined up. I'm believing that God is going to do a work in you, that he has a reward for you. See, when you know Jesus, you're going to see that change. The people around you are going to see that change, and God pays attention to that. See, the Word of God judges every heart and the attitudes of the heart. And as you are genuine in your heart and you are saying, God, I love you, you mess up. Because what? We don't know what Jesus is going to teach us tomorrow. But you can grab on tight today and keep on moving towards him. And he says, good job, son. My daughter, I am so pleased with you. You're going to see a change in your life. You're going to see an ever-increasing righteousness and a movement from evil and sin to good. There's some who will not make the change. Our writer puts out this warning. Don't fall short. He says there's someone who's going to quit. He says, there's some who are going to get lazy, sit down on the job. You're moving forward or you're moving back. One of the two, folks, you can't stay where you're at and follow God. Amen? There are some who will let go the life of faith and grab onto something else that appears more attractive to them. Never forget that there is a reward for those who grab on until the end. He says, man, I see your love displayed to the people around you. Paul writes again to the church in Corinth, chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. If anyone builds on this foundation, talking about the ministry of Christ, using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day, judgment day. You know, we talked about in verses 12 and 13, chapter 4, that each one will have to give an account, and it is on judgment day that we give an account. Each one, the fire will judge your work, will judge the attitudes of your hearts. That's why he says, grab on to the end. Don't quit. Keep going. It'll be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what he has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. Jesus opens the door. Opens the door to eternal life, opens the door to your victory, opens the door to your reward, opens the door to eternity for you. We're talking about freedom from the past. We are talking about pursuing that new life, that eternal life. At least you can come up and play. Many of you come in here today, and you have turned your back on the past, and you have found security in your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are being transformed, and life is hard, and there is challenges every day. But as you go through those challenges, like those little boys screaming their heads off, and Jesus comes near and says, I got your victory right here. You move from challenge to victory, and you come to know Jesus more and more every day. It's a good thing. Can I get a witness on that? See, and you might not even notice. I have talked to some of you, and you are being crushed by today's challenge. They say, man, you are so different than you were last year. And they say, really? Oh, yeah. You are like an entirely different person. They say, but it's so hard. That's because you got past milk. Now you're on the solid food. You got past the easy stuff. Now God's training you up on the hard stuff. Can I get a witness on that? And I'll tell you what, those victories are hard, but they're better, and they get better and better and better, and there's a greater and greater reward that is waiting. Amen? Maybe you are here today, and the Lord says, you're a loser. You have been losing your whole life. You are ignorant of me and my plans for you. I have such great victory in store for you, but you have to surrender your past. The insecurity, the mess, the loss, the fail. I'm opening the door to you right now. Eternal life. Victory in me. And I'll walk with you day by day until there's a trumpet blast and we meet in the sky. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are good.